they're a gift from God. But I'm going to tell you something, as being a mother, that motherhood, truthfully, is a gift to us. How many moms do I have in here that agree with that? Motherhood is a gift. I'm going to tell you, being able to have such an impact on people's lives, it's a gift that God gives us. It's a privilege that God hands us. But it also comes with a great responsibility. I want to give you some statements that were made by people about their mothers, because I think it's really important for us to understand the impact we can make on the people God entrusted into our lives. George Washington said this about his mother. My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received just from her. I'm going to tell you, moms, it is a privilege to be standing in your children's life where you are right now. Abraham Lincoln said this about his mother. He said, no man is poor who has a godly mother by his side. I'm going to tell you, what God has gifted you in motherhood is the greatest gift that God could have given you. God's desire for you is to make an incredible impact that only you are equipped and required to make. This is what Shannon Alder said about mothers. The greatest heroes in life are those that never give up on someone. They stick it out and they make it work. They sacrifice things in their life in order to help others grow. They give up what they want because someone needs it more. They work hard and overcome adversity. They fail for a moment, but they get back up on their feet to show others you don't have to stay down. They show their loved ones that love is not proved by conforming. They teach others that having a voice is a sign of courage. And they will not stay silent to make people around them feel comfortable. They are fearless, and they will do whatever it takes to bring about the greatness in the ones they love, because doing so is all that brings them peace. Their name is Mother. I want you to understand, moms, that being a mother is something that we are never quite prepared for. You can never get prepared enough to be a mother. How many of you have found that to be true? But I want you to understand something this morning. Being a mother is exactly what you are equipped for. You are equipped to be selfless. You are equipped to be the one that at the end of the ropes that will say, it don't matter how long it goes, baby, I'm here with you. You are equipped for faithfulness. Being a mother is a privilege. We need to understand that from the very beginning, because the enemy targets that in our life. So today, here's what we want to bring to you. We want to highlight the most important job you as a woman will ever have. We want to encourage you, and we want to build in you the thought process and the truth that you are exactly what God had in mind when He created a mother. You are the mother that God equipped you to be. Can everybody agree with that? So we're going to tag team preach today. I might have some wonderful women I feel honored to be up here with. And we're going to today encourage and strengthen you in what God has already equipped inside of you to be a mom.
Happy Mother's Day, Mother's Day to all the mothers in the house, whether you're a foster mother, whether you're a stepmother, whether you're an adopted mother. I'm going to talk about a God who is a godly mother. And a godly mother portrays character in her home. Proverbs 22:6 says, we are to train a child up in the way he should go, and when he get older, he will not depart from it. A lot of children, when they leave home, they go their own separate ways, and they, well, I don't have to do what mom and dad say no more. I can do what I want to do. But that doesn't work too well, especially if you got a praying mother. Richard Roberts left home thinking he was going to get away from his mom, his parents. But my mama's prayers brought him right on back home. We, as godly mothers, have some promises of God to stand on. Isaiah 43:26, he said, put me in the remembrance of my word. And I put it in the remembrance of his word. In Acts 16:31, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy shall be saved and thy house. Proverbs 11:21. He said, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. He's talking to the mothers, the godly mothers. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And mothers, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontly between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. Psalm 78. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. The word of God, we will not hide them from our children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them. The children who would be born, that may arise and declare to their children. Okay, we know Timothy, he had genuine faith. And he got this faith from his mother, grandmother Lois, and his mother Eunice. I thank God whom I serve. This is Paul talking. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you. Being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which was first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is also in you. These are some things that mothers have to do. It's, we have to care the children, and then care for their lives. The children are completely dependent on us for survival. It's sleepless nights. It's nursing, scratches and scrapes. It's being stern and protective. It's teaching them to walk, to talk, to walk, and eventually they'll learn how to run. It's bracing them for a fall and dusting them off after they do. It's seeing them cry and not know how to fix it. So you sit down next to them and you cry along beside them. It's teaching them they are smart, capable, finding and giving them the security to do great things. It's building their self-esteem, supporting their dreams, and loving them unconditionally. It's letting them go, letting them fall, and teach them how to get back up. It's going without so they don't have to, and being okay with it. Being a mother is a gift that is unimaginable. Today, to any who does not have a child in their life, it's a connection that is unmatched and unsurmountable in any form or other relationship. It's a love that grows continually, a love that always wants more and better. It's been terrified that you can't prevent the pain, the injustice, the heartbreak, and at times even the death. It's laughing at jokes that not even funny, but the way they say it makes it hilarious. It's listening to them tell a story that goes on and on without a point. It's always being available for mommy. Watch me, mommy. Yeah. And mommy, I need you. Please. It's drowning out the words, mommy, 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 repeated over and over again in attempts to get your attention. It's songs sang out of tune and settling squabblings with siblings. It's being mean and teaching hard lessons that hurt you inside so deep. You want to cry, but you have to stay strong. It's been strong for them when they are weak. It's smiling when you want to cry. It's snuggling them on the couch, watching them moving. It's combing their hair, Make sure they brush their teeth before they go to bed. Make sure they say their prayers. Make sure the clothes are laid out for the next day. Make sure they get up on time to go to school. It's been waking up early on a Saturday morning to get out of their bed to come and get into your bed so they can be next to your heart. It's after you, after the worst day, having them hug you and tell you, "Mommy, I love you, and you need no more." It's a blessing, a gift, a relationship that never ends, and a love that never dies.
You guys, happy Mother's Day to you. Well, I get the privilege of talking about being a joyous mother. You know, in the Bible, it says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season, and motherhood also has seasons, as we all know. But in every season, we have to choose to find joy in that season. I'm just going to talk about a few seasons of motherhood. You know, there are many and there are seasons in the seasons, but we're going to first talk about birth of a child. You know, when we have a baby, each child's birth is a gift from God. John 16:21 says, "A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has born into the world, has been born into the world." You know, when I had my children, you go in and you're all excited. You're going to have this baby. And then the pain comes and the joy just kind of leaves a little bit. But when then they bring that baby to you and you hold it for the first time, you know, all the pain kind of slowly evaporates. A little bit stays, but, you know, we have that joy. There's a picture of me when I had my first child, of Sarah, and she's this tiny little thing full of dark hair. And the smile on my face is just, you know, I didn't look like Leah after she had her baby. She was gorgeous after she had her baby. She looked so pretty. I didn't look that awesome, but the smile was just one so full of joy. And so when I was preparing for this, I thought of that smile. And that's how we should go through life. Even after they're grown, you know, we should still have that joy in our hearts. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was very surprised, unprepared when she was to become a mother. But afterwards, the Bible says she was full of joy. In Luke 1:46, it says, "Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior.'" She knew that he was to be the joy of the world. And she was so thankful that God had chosen her to be his mother. Another example in the Bible was Hannah. She waited a long time, had prayed for a long time for her child, and God finally answered her prayer to become a mom. 1 Samuel 2:1, it says, "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation.'" You know, after you get your baby home and then you start all the work, the feeding, the diaper changing, the crying, and for me, the lack of sleep. Sarah was 7 months old before she ever slept through the night, and I like my sleep. So that was the hardest thing for me. But remember, we have to remember, each season passes by so fast. And so we have to find the joy in each of those seasons. The next season I want to talk about is childhood. And this I call the busy season. It's when they start school and life just gets really, really busy. You know, you have the homework and taking them to school, picking them up. Most of us work while we're doing all this. They have the music lessons, the dance lessons, basketball, baseball, football, whatever your child's involved in. It's just really, really busy. But I believe this is the season that God wants us, our children, to find him. Both Samuel and Jesus, when they were children and boys, they heard the voice of God. And it was because their mothers and families raised them in the house of God and taught the word to them that they knew that they had a bigger plan for their life and a bigger purpose, that God had great things for them to do. And because they'd been trained to hear and follow that voice, they were able to walk in the plan that God had for them. We have to make sure that we teach our children to hear God's voice and lead them to Him during this time. While they're small, while they're children, the greatest joy in motherhood is to know that your children have accepted Christ and that they're going to live their lives for Him for the rest of their lives. When Sarah and Nate were five, they both came to know Jesus. And it was the most joyous experience in Jason and I's life to lead our kids to the Lord, you know. And we're just so thankful for that privilege and honor. And I know each of you, when your children comes to know God, it just puts a joy in your heart. And you know that that child is His. Then they grow up a little bit and they become teenagers and adults. And being a parent definitely has its challenges when they get older. But in that time that we can find peace and joy during this season as well, through all the battles, and there are so many, we know that. But at least we know that God has the victory. At least we can rejoice in that in the midst of all the battles. We can develop a close relationship and friendship with our children as they mature and get older, not when they're young. That's when we have to teach them and train them in the way that they should go. But as they get older, we can develop that friendship with them. Sometimes we just don't feel joy. You know, we are so busy and we have so much to do and we're trying to teach our children and trying to train them and take them to church and but the joy is just not there. And that's like what Mark Smith preached last night or last week, how joy has to be a decision that we make. We have to purpose in our hearts that we are going to be joyful mothers through every situation. We have to say, I will rejoice, even when we don't feel like it. You know, as you have a child that's leaving home, preparing for their life and what God has called them to do, you know, that's a difficult time that we're walking through this year. And I've had to choose to have joy in that season this year. Even when I haven't felt like it, you know, God has brought joy into my heart. And that joy will be our strength. For through every season, the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Habakkuk 3:18, it says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And Philippians 4:4 tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Where do we find our joy? Joy can only come in the presence, from the presence of the Lord and spending time in His presence. If we do it in our own strength, it will run out. We have to be refilled in His presence every day with joy. Psalm 16:11 said, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalms 35. Psalms 32:11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Acts 2:28 says, you have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. It's God's desire to fill our lives with His joy. Through every season, we find our joy by staying in His presence. He will fill our hearts with His joy and make us joyous mothers. Thank you.
Being a mother is a challenge. It just definitely is. But you know what? You are up to that challenge. You know how you know you're up to that challenge? Because God gave you the job of mother. A lot of times the enemy wants us to question that. You know, can I do it? Am I do it? Will I do it? God gave you that job. You need to know God gave you that job. And when he gave you that job, he equipped you for it. So you are up to the challenge of being the God-focused, centered mother that God has called you to be. You are. I am going to talk to you today that a mother is called to a life of spiritual warfare. I'm going to tell you, I have teenagers right now. You have got to know when your kids get to that stage that you are called to a life of spiritual warfare. Not just warfare. And if you have two teenagers, you understand that. Warfare cannot be spiritual at times, especially in our home. But I know without a doubt that God has equipped me to be the spiritual warfare warring mother that my children need. Proverbs 31 says this, a mother, a virtuous woman, watches over the ways of her house. You are a spiritual watchman. God has a spiritual intent for you to be there. Yes, it's to teach. Yes, it's to show. Yes, it's to love. But it is to be vigilant and watch out for what God's purposes and plans are in your children. The top five fears of every mother, this is on a national poll. I want to speak to you because I want you to know that, and a lot of these, all of you, I believe, as mothers and even as fathers, will be able to connect with. The top five fears of mothers. They're rational fears. They're fears that make sense. The first fear is my child won't get the opportunities they need to reach their fullest potential. Number two, I'm afraid someone will hurt or attack my child. That's a rational fear. Number three, I'm afraid my child will be injured in an accident, in a car wreck, in some kind of a disaster, a fear that your child will be injured. Number four, I'm afraid my child won't fit in socially or will get picked on. I'm afraid my child will be lonely. I'm afraid my child won't fit in. Those are rational fears all across the world. Number five, the fear that my child will not be healthy. Now, how many of you women can say in some ways that you relate to those fears? You associate with those fears. How many of you even today have gotten up this morning and you have already been overwhelmed or concerned with those fears right there? The world teaches us, just the form, the state of motherhood teaches us that if we don't worry about those things, we're not a good mother. If we aren't worried about our children, we feel like we're not a good mother. How many of you are there? How many of you have to fight that? If you aren't worried, if you aren't thinking those thoughts, if you aren't safeguarding and protecting, if you aren't concerned about those things, you're not a good mother. But I'm going to tell you what the Word says. The Word says true love casts out all fear. And that's a cut to the heart to me, and I believe every woman in here, because if we truly love our children, we will not fear it. We will not fear it. The devil comes to me all the time, and me and him have this kind of warfare that goes on. He'll say, oh my gosh, you know, my kids won't be home, it'll be late. And he'll say, oh my gosh, your kids are going to be in an accident. And before I even have time to think, I say, you can't touch my kids. It comes out of my spirit. You have got to know that if you are fearing your children's well-being, their health, it is not God's avenue, it is not God's way, and fear is not faith. And it is not true love. So I believe that God wants to encourage us and to strengthen us to be warfare women who will not allow fear to be a way that we comfort ourselves and say it's love. I want to give you the definition of warfare. Because warfare is something that is used in every area of the church. And I want you to understand that what warfare really means. Warfare means a military operation between enemies. You do know you have an enemy, right? You do know there is an enemy out there. And you are on the opposite side of him. Warfare means an activity undertaken by a unit to weaken or destroy another. I'm going to tell you, fear is the number one tactic that the enemy uses to weaken your role, your responsibility, your faith as a mother. Fear is a trap. And the devil uses it time and time again in our lives. And when we allow it, what it does is it doesn't build faith and it weakens us. It weakens our love. It weakens our stand. It weakens our faith in what we know God wants to do in our children's life. Spiritual warfare is us taking a stand against what the enemy is saying, what the enemy is doing, what we even see that is going on around us. It's saying, what you're saying and what you're doing, I'm not for it, and I'm going to stand here. I'm going to stand here until I see what God has said over mine. That is a warring mother. You have to take a stand against the plans of the enemy, because he has plans for your children. I want, Joe, if you'll put up this picture for me. Can all of you see that? I want you to look at that picture just for a second. I want you to understand that there is a real enemy out to destroy yours. I'm going to tell you, in this day and age that we live in right now, there is an evil that is so much more evil that you could never even imagine the evil that the enemy has planned for yours. It is a wicked, wicked season, but I'm going to tell you, there has always been a wicked, wicked adversary. He has always been there. That's why God gives us this scripture. And every mother, I want you to take this scripture into your heart, and I want you to settle it deep in your heart, because I want you to understand that there is an enemy, and we have a job. We are the spiritual warriors over what God has given us to stand for. The Bible says, be sober and be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. His intent, his purpose, is to tear, rip, and deprive you and yours of everything God has given and promised you. If he had his way, he would snuff the life out of everything that God has given us to have life in it. The word vigilant means you're hawk-eyed. It means you're on your toes. The word vigilant means warfare watchfulness. Warfare watchfulness. But let me tell you something. As much as that enemy keeps his eyes on your children, on your husband, on your promises, you don't keep your eyes on him. You don't overcome the enemy by keeping your eyes on him. You overcome the enemy by keeping your eyes on him. By being watchful and knowing that what is set up to destroy your children, what is set up to devour their life, what is set up to rob you is more than you could ever handle. How many of you have come to a stage in your life where you have realized, I cannot defend, I cannot protect, I cannot teach, I cannot ever do enough to keep my children safe from what the plans of the enemy are for my children? That's a fear that the devil taunts you with, but mothers, you've just got to know you're not enough. You are not enough. That devil, he's unseen. You can't even see him coming when he's coming. And he can speak lies to your children without your permission. You've got to know that when God handed you this responsibility of mother, he handed it to you with the knowledge and the understanding that it was more than you could ever defend, protect, or handle on your own. This enemy is a death speaker. He's a life snuffer. He's a self-esteem robber. He's a molester. He's a terrorizer. He's a manipulator. He's a destroyer. His purpose and his plan is whatever he has to do to rob, tear, and rip apart the life that God has gifted you with. He will do it. So to ever begin to fight this enemy right here, to ever begin to stand in a place and say, I am the spiritual warfare woman. I am the warrior. I'm the watchman that God has given me over what, over mine. You have to become a woman of surrender. You've got to become a woman of surrender. God told me this one time, and it was the best teaching, one of the very best teachings God ever revealed to me in and over my children's life. He said, they're not yours. They're mine. Moms, you need to let that sink in as deep into your heart as you can. They are really not yours. They are His. And the more we understand that, the more confident we have that the adversary that's coming against us, it is impossible to succeed. Job, and God showed me this really uniquely. You know the story of Job, and Job goes to Nineveh and he preaches, and he goes out and he sits on this hill, and this plant grows up beside him. And when this plant grows up beside him, Job is so thankful because it's hot and it's shading him. And then this worm God sent into this plant to eat it and to make the plant wither. And Job turned around and said, why? And he was angry and he was upset. And this is what God told Job. He said, you didn't make the plant. You don't know its purpose. You don't know its plan. That was me. Now, God corrected me so strongly because I was praying. I'm going to tell you, I was praying my thoughts, my desires, my dreams, my hopes into my children's life. And God said, you didn't make them. They are not yours. We have no responsibility. And what's that? We have no responsibility in making it happen. We can't make it happen. We have no idea how to get them to where they need to be. We have no ability to get them there safely, to get them there equipped, to get them there strengthened, to get them there unharmed. We don't have any chance ever of being a success at that. But I'm going to tell you who does. Their maker. Their creator. Their protector. Their provider. So as God comes to us and offers us this incredible gift of motherhood, what we've got to understand is we didn't make them. We are not responsible for getting them from here to there. We're responsible for standing against the devil and telling him, no. 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 Why no? Because that's not what my God says. Why no? Because that's not what their God says. We are called to be watchmen that stand at the gate and do not allow the enemy to terrorize, to abuse, to manipulate, not in our own power, but in a surrendered heart that says, God, your will be done in their life. Daniel had this incredible understanding. It says in Daniel 10:12, then he said, do not fear, Daniel. I want you to notice that. Do not fear. Fear is easy. Faith is not. Fear is easy. Faith is not. Do not fear. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand, I want you to understand something, that you've got to set your heart to understand what God's plans are in your children's life, not your plans. You've got to set your heart to understand what God is doing in this situation, not what you want to do. We would want our kids to be on top all the time. We would. That's what we would want. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of times, that's not where they're going to learn. A lot of times, they're going to learn in the valley. We have to be diligent to set our hearts to understand and to humble ourselves before God. Because when you did that, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. When we as women will humble ourselves, when we will come to the end of our rope and say, God, you know what? I don't have a clue. And that is so not easy for us to do. It is not easy for us to come to a place in our life and say, God, you know what? I don't have a clue how to do this. I don't have a clue what you would even begin to want to do. Because we as moms, we love to be prepared. We love to be Martha in the Bible. We love to be the woman that's got it all organized, that got it all set in course, that has it all together, that has it all right. But let me tell you, Martha didn't please Jesus. God wants us to be a Mary. Moms, it takes a surrendered, humbled heart. It takes a surrendered, humbled heart to get God on the scene. It takes a surrendered, humbled heart to understand what God's plans are beyond what your plans ever could be. And a lot of times, what that makes us look like, we have no idea what's going on. And that's got to be okay with us. We've got to be okay not being God. I'm going to say that again because God said that to me. We've got to be okay not being God. And we've got to be okay letting Him be. We can't be God. He's too smart for me. I don't like to highlight the devil, but I'm going to tell you, he's evil beyond what my mind can even begin to comprehend. We can't outwit him. We can't outmaneuver him. We can't outthink him. We can't outprotect him. We can't outguard him. We can't strategize around him. We can't do that. But he can. He can. So as much as we want to be Martha and we want to get everything done that needs to be done, I'm going to tell you, the safety, the protection, the surrender, everything your kids need to find you at the feet of Jesus every day saying, I cannot do this on my own. I can't. I can't. I had a place in my life where I had little kids, and I'm going to tell you, I could see him face to face. And I could see him devouring them. And it brought me to this perfectly humbled place, to where every mother, to where my goal is to be every day, to where we have to say, God, only you can do it. Only you can do it. One thing I know is that God is faithful. And I know when we allow fear, see, that scripture right there says, the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, what I want you to understand about that word may, it's not can. It has nothing to do with his ability. He's got the power. If it is up to me, he's got the power. But you know what God steps in and says? He doesn't have permission. He does not have permission to come into your children's life and have his way because we are vigilant. Because we are sober. Because we stand and we guard our family, not with our own strength, not with our own self, but with surrendered hearts, with wisdom from God. And we tell the devil every time, no. We tell him every time, no. God told me this one time. He said, if you fear it, I have to allow it. But if you don't fear it, I will not allow it. We need to understand that concept so much as mothers. That's exactly what he was teaching me. If I feared that my kids were going to be damaged emotionally and mentally, then you know what? God would have to allow it. I gave the enemy permission. But if I stood and I said no, you know what? They're going to be very, very insecure. No, they're not. Why? Because they're yours. They're not mine. He protects his own. He is a good, good father. Women, I want to encourage you today. I want you to learn that the first word that comes out of your mouth every time the devil comes and he says something that goes against what the Word of God says over his people, I want you to learn the word no. No. Your children aren't in. They should be in. What if there was a... No, you can't touch them. They're not mine, they're his. No, you can't touch them. They're not mine, they're his. I want every person in this room, if you will, just stand up for a minute. Because we are all called to be sober and vigilant. And I want you to close your eyes just for a second. Number one, God calls us. He calls us to have a heart that understands his ways. So I want you to just out of your mouth, I want you to say, Father, help me to understand I am not in control. I don't have to be in control. That's your job. Help me to understand you got a plan in my kid's life. You got a plan in my husband's life. You got a plan in my family's life. You've got a plan in my life. I commit to understanding you. Not me. I will not rationalize fear anymore. Fear is not faith. Father, right now I ask you to pour a humble heart into your children. Father, I ask right now that you will open up hard, stubborn places and you will birth humbleness in such a way that we come to you as Mary. I want you to just right now, I want you to ask God. I want you to say, Father, where am I not at your feet at? Where am I not hungry, thirsty, dependent, completely consumed with you in my life? And let him show you an area. Father, forgive me. Forgive me for thinking I could take care of it at all on my own. Forgive me for thinking it was ever your choice to put me in control. Forgive me for trying to do it my own way. And I want you to just take your little hands and I want you to just lift them up and I want you to give it to him. Give it to him. Us giving all of our cares to Jesus is really us lifting up our hands in surrender. Father, right now we surrender to you this morning. Lord, we thank you that your ways are higher than our ways and that we come to be vigilant and we come to be sober and we come to tell the devil no. But when we do that, we don't stand alone. We stand on your word. We stand for your promises and we will see God's will done in all of his children, even the ones he has entrusted me with. In Jesus' name, amen.